It's time for Let's Talk on WPPA, AM 1360, A106 FM, and on the web at WPPARadio.com. Stories making news, special guest interviews, your phone calls, and more. The views expressed on Let's Talk are not necessarily those of the management or staff of WPPA. Now, here's your host, Jay-Z.
Happy Friday morning, everybody. Let's Talk is on the air. Jay-Z is not in the building yet, but I will tell you that he is doing well. He wants all his listeners to know and everybody out there that he is doing extremely well following his surgery and looks to get back here as quickly as humanly possible, as he is one of the tough guys in the area. He's gone through a lot, but he's doing extremely well. But we're going to continue this week's edition of Let's Talk. We're going to build upon what we did earlier this week as we have the Republican candidates in the city of Pottsville in studio today. And, well, I'll allow you guys to figure out who wants to go first. Introduce yourself, you know, the position you're running for, a little bit of background, if you would.
Sure. Jazz, thanks. Tom Smith, mayoral candidate for Pottsville. Been a Pottsville resident for 39 years. Happily retired. Was a financial advisor before that as a car dealer for many years at Smith Motor Company. Loved Pottsville, chose to live here, brought here, worked for Kinney Shoes, as I previously said on radio. And we like the community, we like the people, helpful, just good people here. And I just want to improve the city, want to make it great. We can do it.
All right. Go next.
Good morning. This is John Marsh, running for city council. First, thanks for sharing JP's update with us. Happy to hear that that went well and speedy recovery to him. I am a prior service Marine, 8 years active duty in the intelligence field. I'm a Penn State alum where I met my now wife, who is a born and raised Pottsville native. So followed her here, fell in love with the city, small business owner. But most importantly, I'm a husband and a father to two beautiful babies that are going to grow up here, and I want Pottsville to be the best version of itself, and I think I can help.
And my name is Scott Price, and first I'd like to say, Jay-Z, wish you a speedy recovery, and Chaz, thanks for stepping in today. Born and raised here in Pottsville, proud to say that. I'm a Purdue University graduate. I have a bachelor's degree in organizational management. I'm currently finishing up my black belt in Six Sigma, which is a data analytic and data processing system. As I stated, born and raised, I'm married to my wife, Jenna. We have a four-legged daughter named Grace. I don't think she's listening at home, so. But I just love the area. I love this city more than anything in the world, so glad to be here.
All right. Well, JP handled the Democrat candidates, and I stole his questions. All right, I'm going to be very upfront about that. There may be some smattered in here as best I can, building off of what you guys say during the answers that you are going to provide. So, all right, are we ready to get started?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Anybody can start. Just great idea, Tom. Just let people know who's answering the question.
Correctly.
All right, so we're going to start with every level of government has become totally oppositional. So if elected, what will you bring to the table to ensure that reasonable programs will be considered without political vitriol?
So this is Scott Price. I'll take this to start. So we've already begun kind of doing that. You're going to see some ads running on social media where we actually tout a lot of endorsements from local Democrats. We also were invited to and began working with the organizer for the local community groups for the Latino community. And we have worked with them on to put a focus on that. If we were elected, we want the city to work with them for ESL programs, English as a second language. So when these individuals come into the city, when they want to get jobs in the area, they can live here, they can be supported here. And that's typically, you know, when you get into the diverse communities, that's typically a federal political issue. And for us, it's just not. We've worked across the aisle a multitude of times over the last 8 or 9 months. When the situation happened with the CRIS grant, we had worked with state legislators. We had meetings with them. We volunteered our time to the city to be a part of the CRIS authority as well. You know, and as you know, they're on the other side of the aisle. So we have no problem working cross the aisle, and we've actually begun doing that over the last 8 months.
Tom Smith speaking. I can say that with that, most of my friends aren't of the same political affiliation I am. We have a large Tuesday night dinner with all multitude of friends with different backgrounds and so forth. And I listen to all their concerns. And you know what? They're the same as everywhere else. They're the same as all of us. As Scott mentioned, working with the Latino community, I'm a liaison between the Latino community and El Vernia College, setting up that English as a second language. I think we're moving forward, scheduling some meetings with that. But when we go in, when we win, and we're there, we're going to put the right people in the right positions. And we don't care if you're a libertarian, independent, or Democrat. If you're the right person for that position, for the board or the authority, whatever, we're giving you the position. We have no problem working unilaterally across the board.
Yeah, John Marsh here. Just to echo what Tom just said, that's been our stance from the beginning. It doesn't matter what your party affiliation is at all, and it shouldn't. It's getting the right people with the right experience and background to help the city move forward. That is it. That is our goal completely, and that's the way it should be.
Scott, building off your answer a little bit, I have a question for you. You said you're going to have different endorsements coming out on social media, but for an older population that doesn't have access to social media, how will they get that information?
I guess that particular information, I guess they won't get that, but those are endorsements from current and former retired educators here in the city. So we're proud to hold that. We've connected with hundreds, if not thousands. I think our door knocking total this year for the election is over 3,000 doors. And one thing we haven't done is we haven't targeted a certain category of voters. We just go and knock on every single door. So we're focused on bringing everybody together. Our focus, like John said, we don't care where you're from or what your affiliation is. We want you a part of the administration. We want you in positions to help the city succeed.
All right. So Pottsville currently has no city administrator. So could you please share your criteria for the position and be specific in citing qualifications and experience?
Tom Smith speaking. The qualification is going to be, we're going to get a qualified grant writer, for one. We do not want to pay two positions, city administrator and a grant writer. The grants have a trailer on them for 2-5%. That will help offset the fees of the paying the city administrator. But we need a guy. I'd like specifically to be from Pottsville, know what he's dealing with. I'd rather not recruit from outside, but we want a well-vetted city administrator that is going to work with us and work with all Democrats, everyone. That's my take on that.
And I think on top of that, you can add to the fact that the grant writing is only a portion of their position, right? So they have that grant writing, and it's probably one of the most important parts of their job. But then they also have a city hall to run, and they have an organization, because city hall is a business. So they have to turn around and run an organization as the leader of city hall. So when we look at qualifications, we need to look at somebody that's going to build the partnerships. In that position, they have, I might get the official title wrong, but they have an administrative assistant for them, right? They have somebody right underneath them. And the administrator and that assistant have to have a partnership where they work, you know, with synergy amongst each other, and they're fluidly running that city hall and making sure everybody is being effective.
So we'll continue. The police and streets department are understaffed. So what are your plans to increase revenues to help those departments?
Scott, why don't you take that?
Okay. So the police are actually kind of one of the things that got me into it. I started going to city council last year when they had made some changes to the staffing model. For me, you know, As I said before, the city is a business. I don't look at it as a government. I look at it as a business, right? You have a budget. You have to manage that budget. You have authorities and departments. They all have a budget. So for the police, when I bring my business experience in, one of the things you're taught in HR is turnover rate. And when you have high turnover, you have high costs. If an officer leaves or anybody leaves a position in a business, it's 2 to 2.5 times their salary to train, to onboard, to hire. That process costs money. So for us, Right now, the average term of a police officer in Pottsville is right around 6 to 7 years. The reason it's so high is we have two officers that are here like 30 plus years. If you take them out, it actually drops. And we have, last time I checked, we have right around 8 officers that are only here 2 years or less. So when we say what we can do instantly for police, we don't want Band-Aids. What we want to do is we want to understand the culture of the department. We want to understand why officers are leaving. And if we can slowly take that terms of service up, then over the course of 3, 5, 7 years, you're going to save a lot of money. You're going to save $100,000 to $200,000 per officer if you can keep officers in the department and not have them leave. From an instant gratification standpoint, there are several grants that are being applied for. There are gun safety grants. There are actually grants from the Liquor Control Board or the Gambling Board. Any crime that happens in a facility with, you know, one of those touchscreen games that we have all over, you can get grants to pay for all the work the officer does. You can get grants to pay for any gun crime that happens. So we can start going after that money and infusing it into the system while we're simultaneously working on the cultural piece to keep officers here longer.
So John Marsh here, just supporting what Scott just said. So in a past life, I was an HR director at a large company in Philadelphia with 997 people under my charge as a HR director. And turnover is a significant cost to the company, significant cost. It's also a sign of maybe some other underlying problems that need to be addressed. I'll also echo that the availability of grants for the police department for equipment and other things that those men and women need are not currently being applied for, and they need to be. So we can definitely immediately make considerable changes in that department for the better right away.
That's why we have Tom on a ticket. Tom will speak extensively today. Tom's a grant guru. I mean, this guy secured $1.3 million for the expansion of the Y as a private citizen. So we're just excited to have him on a ticket and go after that money.
So Tom speaking here, the grant guru. Actually, I'm not the grant guru, but I know where to go. I work with a team of people that are so supportive through the legislators, and that they want to help us. I go out and I go to the right people to do that. But with that said, as most people know, or as I've been saying, I'm not going to be in City Hall one day a month to do the city council meeting. I'm retired. I'm going to be a full-time mayor. What I want to bring to the table is my ability to work with people. I want to get in and work with the police force. I want to check in with them daily, find out what their culture is, like Scott said. I want to find out what's going on, and I like to lead them to try to keep the officers online, you know, not leaving us as they are in droves. We're constantly replacing police, but I want to work with them extensively and find out what's going on.
All right, and to expand that to the other part of the question, the street department's also understaffed.
Yeah, again, it's just it's the same thing. We have to go after the funding to infuse it. We have to – it's just a cultural piece. Now, they have longer tenured employees, right? The tenure there is not the problem. What I feel the problem is, I don't think that department and the leadership – I don't want to get personal. I think there could be more – effective project management skills. And that's what I bring to the table. I work as a lean specialist in my job. So I go from A to B quicker, faster, cheaper, right? So for us, it's installing, and it's not that the street department has bad employees. They're great workers, but I don't think the city leadership has set them up for success. And I want to come in and I want to set them up for success, where it's not necessarily they're short staffed, but now they can be more efficient and more effective. And when you do that, when you create efficiency in roles, you're going to save costs and you're going to free up money and financing.
Yeah, John Marshall. Yeah, echoing that again. Like I think we have great people in the street department. I know several of them, and they are passionate about what they do, and they want to help. That's our job as city leadership to give them the tools that they need to do these jobs that need to be done. And hopefully they get at least one key member back soon who's been injured. So hopefully his, you know, his recovery's been going well. So hopefully they get him back. I know he's pretty critical to them.
Tom Smith speaking again. One thing I want everybody to keep in mind is the streets department can only do what's given to them. You know, they get a bad rap because they're putting patches on top of patches, and there's a reason for that. They don't have the money to do the curb-to-curb paving like they should. Do they have the right equipment? I don't know. But they're doing their level best to try to keep up with it. But when they're not given the tools, proper tools, they can't perform a miracle on a street. When you got, there's places 15, 20 patches on top of patches, but that's all they've been given to work with.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult to pinpoint, right? I don't look at it as a departmental issue. I don't look at it and say, what can we do for streets, or what can we do for this department? I look at it holistically as a business, right? So the city has a, last year the budget I think was 10.8 million. This year probably over 11 million. You have to look at the city as a whole, and you have to look up how you're dividing the funding, how you're tracking those metrics on a month-to-month basis. And if you can have a better analytics system in place where you're using predictive analysis and you're using data to drive your decisions, you're going to set the employees up for success, and that's what we want to do.
Okay. So do you guys have a plan to increase collaboration with other entities like PADCO, the Chamber of Commerce, along with county and state officials to actively pursue these grants and other funding to aid Pottsville's business community?
So, yeah, that's Tom Smith speaking. That has been what I've been doing the last 11 years with the Schuylkill County YMCA. I came on board as just a regular board member, came through the ranks, and now president of Schuylkill County YMCA. But Chaz, I can't express enough the help that's out there waiting for us. But as a city, we're not asking. I was able to secure many grants besides the 1.3 for the Alvernia Gymnastic Fantastic program we're going to be launching in January. That program there, we have 75 kids on the floor right now at the old armory where we have it. Now we're going into a 7,600 square foot facility in Alvernia College, but we've secured those grants working in conjunction with Alvernia, Dan Muser's office, Senator Argel's office, Tim Towardzik's office. And I have those connections just over the years of doing it. And then also with PADCO. PADCO's been instrumental. As far as I'm concerned, in the past 5 years, PADCO is the only one that's been bringing any money into the city. So we're definitely going to work with them.
I think PADCO... I think Tom's right. PADCO is an incredible organization. I think Savas Logothitis does a great job there. For the last few years, he's run the, I could get the exact name wrong, but the launch programs and the
Launch Pottsville.
And John was a part of that. And, you know, I went to this year's program and the School of Rock won. And it was just incredible because it's, you go there, and the School of Rock, I think, is what was the winner, but every other business there won as well because every other business there got exposure. You had, if I remember correctly, like four or five businesses competing, and they all had their stands there, their setups, and you had a room full of 100 people looking at everybody, and it's like you already know that you're going to support those businesses. I'm excited. I'm excited for some of the projects that I've seen this year. The Greenway that was presented, the flower or the plant shop, the how-to planting, I think, by one of the females that was there. It was great. So PADCO does great work, and our state legislators, they're willing to help, like Tom said. And yeah, we need to bring that collaboration back. We need to break down the silos. I think Pottsville's created a silo effect, and we need to open that up.
Yeah, John Marsh here. So yeah, I have a lot of experience with PADCO. I went through the Launch Pottsville program, and it's an incubator for business, for small business here, and that is what we need right now. We need revitalization, and in order to revitalize in Pottsville and to restore these buildings, it's an enormous cost, and we need to be attracting businesses to do business in Pottsville, and you attract them any way you can, whether it's a business plan competition like Launch Pottsville that can get you awarded startup money to help, whether it's the Redevelopment Authority and grants that they have available, or forgivable loans that they do for getting these vacant, dilapidated buildings out of the hands of absentee owners and into the hands of local responsible business owners, our neighbors. That's who we want in these buildings. But going back to PADCO, they really are fighting the good fight here. Those programs are so incredible. I was actually fortunate enough to be a judge for the last one that you were speaking about, where School of Rock won. That's a process that requires everyone that goes through it to really study what they're trying to do and come up with a viable business plan. And then they have experts in different fields like finance and business comb through their ideas and make sure that what they're presenting is valid and viable and can exist. And it avoids of what I call the paying of a significant dumb tax when you're just starting a business by having all these experts available to you. It's a fantastic program, and we look forward to continue working with them.
And one of the things, may I ask, sorry, or may I interject?
Time's yours.
Yeah, one of the things we want to do to better partner with those organizations is John went through it. John started a business in town, right? He went through the highs and the lows, the ebbs and the flows. He knows what it takes. And one policy that we've released this summer is we sat down and we thought, how can we inject businesses into the town, particularly young entrepreneurs, right? Coming out of high school or college, we want them to move back to the area. So what we've come up with is John is committed to every spring when graduation season is coming around. We don't care what your age is. John is going to run a how-to seminar on how to start a business in Pottsville. And he will create a front-to-back guide that tells somebody from idea to turning that key on the building what it takes to start a business here in town. That'll include funding, articles of incorporation, everything. And with that, if a high schooler is coming out of, if a student's coming out of high school and they went to VOTEC or they're coming out of college or trade school, we're committed to opening up all city jobs to competitive bidding. So a high schooler that went to VOTEC, let's say he has his license, he has a small LLC where he's insured, we can use that seminar to include him into the city rotation where if we have a plumbing issue, we can call him. If we have a street issue, we can call them to help the street department. Let's say the street department's tied up. And we can give business to those entrepreneurs. And right now that competitive bidding is not happening. But if we do that, we can encourage them to stay here. They'll have a couple jobs under their belt. They can use the city work as a reference. And if they do well for us, we can write reference letters and encourage them when they go to other jobs.
I just wanted to expand. So starting a business is incredibly difficult. Especially a brick and mortar. These people that are doing this are literally risking everything. Most people that do it have their homes tied into this. They stand a real chance if they fail of losing everything. It's a massive risk. We need the city leadership to be as supportive to those people. And we need to tear down barriers to business that currently exist in Pottsville. There are too many. We have been told several times that Pottsville it's not that we're difficult to work with. We're the most difficult to work with of any city that at least in this sample size that they've ever worked with. These include cities like Los Angeles and Portland. And I mean, it's crazy. We should be easy to do business with here in Pottsville because that's what we're trying to do is revitalize, remove the barriers to business, give people a real path to get this done. It is a scary thing to risk it all. And then to find out that you don't have the support of city leadership.
All right. Well, John, I'm going to build off of something that you kind of touched on a little bit the first time around. So would you guys say it's time to get tougher on out of the area buyers of city properties who fail to keep those properties up to code? And have you researched what legal paths are available?
Tom Smith speaking. So a few months ago, me and John and Scott sat with over an hour meeting on Zoom with Jersey City, New Jersey Blight Task Force and code enforcement. they're known as some of the toughest on the East Coast, and they have a much larger population. I think 2 million, possibly.
Yeah, it was pretty high, and they ran into the same issues we had, and in the research they developed the countermeasures.
So they came up with a lot. The big thing too is though, they will pursue, they will convict, they will take these buildings where I feel that we've been lax. So we're gonna really take care of that. One policy they have is that every year that building's empty and it's not taken care of, there's a higher fee to own that building in the city. One thing I would like to add to that is, I didn't check out all the legal ramifications, but we're going to pursue it heavily. When you're from out of town, or if you're in town and you're buying a blighted building, the last thing we want is you to come in and hope and pray that redevelopment comes through. You didn't touch your building, but then all of a sudden you get 10 times over what it's worth because you're in the redevelopment zone. We don't want that. You're coming in, you're going to buy a blighted building. We're going to have that building appraisal, what it's going to take to drop it and dispose of it. And that money is going into an escrow account until that building is improved, finished, and back on the tax rolls. So whether it be, we'll have to decide if it's 2 years, 3 years. But we're going to convict. We're going to pursue. We're not going to let this go on. It's a major problem for us. And that will eliminate a lot of people. If you don't have the $40,000 to $50,000 to drop that building, you shouldn't be going into a blighted building anyhow because you don't have the wherewithal and finances to put it together to begin with.
And I think it's important. When Tom told us that, when we worked with Jersey City and Tom brought that idea after we met with them, and I just think it's so ingenious, right? Because you're putting the financial pressure on those out-of-town buyers to invest. And the thing that it does, and here's the difference. You could have one side telling how they're going to fix the current blight. Well, we're gonna get this building and we're gonna do that building. That's all well and good, but that's very first level thinking. For us, not only are we thinking about how to fix current blight, but Tom's idea is going to prevent further blight, right? So not only do we have to stop it now, but you have to prevent it. And that's the difference in the theories between our tickets. We want to look at the prevention 3, 5, 7 years from now. And Tom's idea is just incredible.
Well, let's talk about it. Because, Tom, you talked about in the redevelopment zone, yes, like the downtown area.
Yeah.
But blight affects pretty much every part of the city. So what about once you get out of that downtown area? What does that look like?
Okay, Tom Smith again. So it's the same idea. We're not just focused on downtown because, I'm ashamed to say this, but there's a lot of neighborhoods that I have not been in, and Scott Price has dragged my old butt through every neighborhood on every corner, everywhere, and it is shocking of how they've been neglected. I don't want to get negative on it, but anyhow, they deserve the same attention as the downtown. We're not focusing completely downtown. I think the number's 300 and some blighted properties, and believe me, Scott has showed me, it is row after row of these, and what it does, it demeans and tears down the morale of that neighborhood. They just feel that they're less, and they don't. We're all equal here. We're all one. It's going to be the same theory with those. Those people, if you already own the building, it's not improved this year, your fee goes up to own that building. You can call it a fee or tax, whatever. The next year, it goes up even more. So then we take it back through eminent domain, conservatorship, whatever. But we're going to focus on the neighborhoods. Right now, what I've seen on my end, I want to focus more on these neighborhoods like Spring Garden, like up on Pierce Street, and that these people work hard to have their homes and to have some 2 to 3 homes beside them with weeds growing out of them, the roofs falling in, and that they deserve better.
And I'm glad you brought that up because that's a really good point. And we put a lot of emphasis on downtown, but we obviously have the suburbs and outskirts of the town. And I'm glad you brought it up because we have a policy for that. So we have to work on some jargon, some terminology, but whether it's the precincts or we kind of just subdivide it after the election, what we want to do is, one concern that's been brought up is, well, I call the city and we don't get a response, or who do I call, or what we wanted. We want every member of the city council. We want an ordinance in place where every member of the city council represents a different section of the town. So whether it's blight, roads, sidewalks, crime, costs, whatever, if you're in, let's say, the West End, if you're in the Wood Glen precinct, which I believe is 7-2 or 7-1, your representative, for instance, would be John Marsh. And you know that all your concerns can funnel to that one representative. And then that representative brings it to the city council and says, hey, this area of town is dealing with this issue. And then we can start putting things in place to fix those issues. And I think when you add that layer of representation to the city, the communities, like Tom said, the Spring Garden, the Race Street, Harrison, the East Side, these are communities that have just, I mean, if you walk through them, they've just been forgotten. And you can bring direct representation to those communities. And that's what we want to do.
All right. Well, what do you guys say we take a time out here on the program? We'll get some words in from our sponsors. We'll also come back with some more questions, and then the floor will be open to you all. So we'll be back right after this on Let's Talk.
Tune in this Friday night as WPPA's coverage of the District 11 playoffs continues with the Class A sub-regional semifinal as the Nativity Green Wave travel to Factoryville to take on Lackawanna Trail. Coverage gets underway at 5:30 with touchdown tips and the pregame show with Matt Fryler, Del Houck, and Eli Doyle at 6:45 and kickoff at 7 o'clock. The District 11 playoffs are always home on your news and sports leader, AM 1360, 105.9 FM, A106, and around the world at WPPARadio.com.
Joe Thurr's Automotive has always prided itself on going beyond the standard. Some folks have asked, what's beyond the standard? You'll have peace of mind knowing that every time your vehicle is in the shop, the staff at Joe Thurr's Automotive will ensure that it's fixed correctly and make sure you and your family are safely motoring along. It's peace of mind. The same principles hold true at the new location, 712 West Market Street, Orangeburg. You know, the former Orangeburg Service Center? With over 100 years of combined experience and a team of certified master technicians, Joe Thurr's Automotive Orangeburg can fix the issues your current mechanic just can't. To book your next appointment, call 570-366-4600. Joe Thurr's Automotive, 712 West Market Street, Orangeburg. Always going beyond the standard.
See more of the world with CNR Tours. Whether it's a day trip to a show at either American Music Theater or the Dutch Apple Dinner Theater, our nation's capital, or New York City, CNR Tours has great one-day getaways to fit your schedule. In February and March, CNR Tours will get you to the legendary Philadelphia Flower Show. In April, spend 4 days and 3 nights at the International Military Tattoo. You'll spend time at the National Maritime Center Nauticus. Tour the USS Wisconsin and Hampton Roads Naval Museum. Plus, have reserve seating to the 72nd Annual Parade of Nations with over 100 U.S. and international bands, military units, and more. Or take a four-day getaway to SpringFest 2026 in Ocean City, Maryland. To find all the details on these destinations and more great getaways, or to book your trip, log on to crbustours.com. Or better yet, stop in and see us at 119 Industrial Park Road, St. Clair. Enjoy the sights and leave the driving to us at CNR Tours.
At UFP Gordon, we work hard and play hard. And at the end of the day, we're not just co-workers, we're more like family. UFP Gordon is growing, and if you would like to join this team and family, we want to take a look at you. We have mill positions open, lumber stacking, and openings in the truss and pallet departments, and general labor. You must be hardworking, have a valid ID, and be at least 18. Check us out online at ufpi.com/careers. The pay is great, the benefits are tremendous, and joining our team is like joining our family. UFP Gordon, a proud supporter of Coal Region football.
Honor Brothers Roofing and Sheet Metal has been providing quality workmanship as a three-generation, family-owned business for over 86 years. They treat every project as if it were their own. Honor Brothers offers free estimates on roofs and seamless gutter systems. Honor Brothers also offers seamless gutter supply to local contractors and do-it-yourselfers. They also offer 10 and 13-yard dumpster rentals for 5 days with delivery and pickup. Dumpsters fit in driveways and are perfect for small cleanouts. Honor Brothers offers professional gutter cleaning. Cross cleaning your gutters off your list permanently. Call Honor Brothers at 570-622-6150 today.
Some investors have time to manage their own portfolios. Most don't. That's why at March Lutz Wealth Advisors, we offer several types of professionally managed programs designed to meet your needs. Call me, Darren March, Certified Financial Planner, today at 484-671-2097 with offices in Pottsville and Reading to discuss professional asset management. Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. March Lutz Wealth Advisors is not a broker-dealer and is independent of RJFS.
Bob Lipsky from WPPA. Let me tell you about the lawyers of Lieberman & Tamulonis. When it came time to honor my mom's wishes after her passing, the staff at Lieberman & Tamulonis helped us navigate all of the estate issues with expertise and caring personal service. They walked with us every step of the way. Let the experienced staff at Lieberman & Tamulonis help you like they helped me. Whether it's real estate, estates, personal injury, or other legal matters, call for a no-obligation legal consultation at 570-622-1988 or check them out online at zltlaw.com.
If you could use some extra money, Wiener Iron and Metal is the place to go. Wiener Iron and Metal in Pottsville recycles cans, copper, stainless steel, radiators, iron, and light iron. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. For current pricing and any recycling questions, call 570-622-6543. Get paid for your recycling with Wiener Iron and Metal, 1056 Route 61, Pottsville. Online at wienermetals.com.
Okay, I have to tell you. I was just looking on eBay, where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Millions of finds, each with a story. eBay. Things people love.
This sandwich, it's a complete game changer. Hello, this is Mike, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A Pretzel Cheddar Club is that juicy chicken with that toasty pretzel bun. That bun, it's crispy, cozy, just amazing. With the pretzel bun, the Dijon mustard, and the chicken, it makes that sweet, savory kind of combination. It's everything that you love about food rolled into one. It looks phenomenal. It tastes great. It's delicious.
Order the Pretzel Cheddar Club with Cherry Berry and Sprite for a limited time on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonial.
For today, mostly cloudy and windy with a few showers with highs near 50. For tonight, partly cloudy, windy, and chilly with lows in the upper 30s. For Saturday, more clouds and sun, shower possible with highs in the low 50s. And for Sunday, partly sunny with highs into the mid-50s. With your future alert weather forecast, I'm meteorologist Logan Westrop on WPPA. WPPA.
Welcome back to the Friday edition of Let's Talk with the Republican candidates in the city of Pottsville, Scott Price, John Marsh, candidates for city council, Tom Smith, candidate for mayor, joining us this morning. Thanks for being here, gentlemen. Are we ready to get back in? Everybody hydrated, ready to go for the home stretch here.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Bring it home.
All right. Well, we're going to start with the plight of the homeless, which seems to be an ongoing problem here in the city of Pottsville. I know driving into work some mornings, you see them in different spots just behind the radio station under some canopies and whatnot. Have you discussed a plan that would have the city and local organizations collaborate in providing assistance for shelter and food? I know that John on Wednesday talked about the soup kitchen closing, and that was a big blow. The Diocese of Allentown took that away. So, you know, have you guys had any thought into this?
Yeah, so this is Scott Price, and this is actually something I'm extremely, extremely proud of. And again, we have to break this down into, you know, solution and prevention. So when we started running over the summer, back in June, I started getting contacted by business owners. They gave me tours of their buildings. They showed me where the damage was occurring from some of these individuals. And we immediately got to work. So what we did was, in my line of business, you have to understand the problem. You can't just try to fix it. You got to go get on the ground. So several nights, as crazy as it sounds, I would just park my truck and I would just walk the alleyways. I'd walk the train tracks. And I would talk to as many homeless as I can. Understand their situation, understand how they got here, what's preventing them from rejoining the workforce. And I started taking a local medical professional named Bob Alonge, and we started getting the medical assistance. After that, we did that for 3 or 4 different nights, and it was scary. You know, you're 1, 2 in the morning, you're walking the alleys. But after that, we put a policy in place. We mirrored that policy off of a psychological theory called Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. I presented it at the city council meeting in July. And in the beginning of August, I was granted a one-on-one sit down with Mayor Bill Maceros, which I give him full credit for. He was one of the nicest people I've met, and he agreed that something has to be done. So we have a plan to address the homeless. We look at the homeless as there's really 3 categories. People that need help, or people that want help, people that don't want help, and people that don't know they need help. And the first plan I wrote that we presented to city council and I presented to Mayor Maceros, that was for the people that want help. And with that, it's a whole page long. We'll be here till 2 if I read it here. But if we put that in place, we can start mitigating the individuals on the street currently. And like I said before, first and second level thinking, you can start preventing people from getting on the streets. Bill was very supportive of it, or Mayor Maceros, sorry, no disrespect. Mayor Maceros was very supportive of it. The city administrator at the time was in a meeting and he was very supportive of it. So it's a plan that'll work, and it's a plan that we're very proud of, that we can start mitigating the people on the street and preventing them from getting out there again.
All right. So we're going to talk about parking in downtown Pottsville, which continues to be a hot topic. So could you please outline your plan to make parking more convenient and therefore more attractive for downtown businesses?
Tom Smith speaking. So again, I'm trying to take the high road here. So one thing I really want to implement as soon as I get in there, if you're 62 years old and you're a resident of Pottsville, you're going to come to City Hall, register your vehicle, get a sticker on your car, and you don't pay for parking. Now, we can't do it for people that live downtown. You cannot block access to, in, you know, flowing in and out for these businesses and so forth. But, you know, there's going to be a 3 to 4 hour parking window you're allowed to have. Secondly, big problem with the people of the downtown. My wife worked at the, show you how old we are, she worked at Pennsylvania National Bank back in the day, and actually ended up as M&T. But the women that worked there, as I remember, they got half rate at the Monotongo parking garage. So it kept them from taking the parking spots downtown and making it difficult. Lastly, we need to rethink our philosophy on the parking situation. They're too hard. They're too fast. They're looking. They have a bogey to meet. I don't know if it's weekly or monthly. And I know we all 3 of us can sit here and tell you bad experiences we had with the parking authority.
I'm going to have a ticket when I go out there. I know it.
And there's no reason for that. You know, it's hard enough getting businesses downtown. I walk the streets and talk to as many business owners as I could, and there's not one of them that did not have a complaint about parking and chasing their customers off.
Wow. Anybody else?
Okay. No, it's just we have to make sure they function in the best interest of the citizens.
Yeah, but just a little too punitive. You know, we there's a lot of issues with that. It's another barrier to business. I know we keep saying it, but we want out of town people coming in, and we want those vehicles around with different license plates, like going into our local establishments and not driving them away with fees all the time. Like there's a reason for ticketing vehicles and making sure that the streets are clear and cars aren't parked all the time. But we are way too punitive with our current parking authority.
Yeah, and you're gonna have the opportunities with our tourism district, and Jerry Ender's leading that endeavor with his group. The addition of the Rosalia is gonna be huge for this city.
Yeah.
Right. That I believe I could be wrong with the plans, but I believe she's gonna have kind of like a cocktail bar in there. And so not only is it just an overnight thing, but you can just go in for an hour, maybe 2 hours, hang out with friends. And if the authorities in the city are not functioning in their best interest, places like the Rosalia are not going to grow and succeed. So they need to have the support of the authorities in order to succeed here.
All right. Now, this will be for each of you. And I'll tell you, we have about 10 minutes left. All right. So why should folks in the city of Pottsville elect you? And to double on that, why not your opponent? Any of you can start that.
John, you want to take that off?
Sure. John Marsh here. So they should vote for me because I'm a man of action. As a Marine, I have to leave things better than when I got them. It's a trait that stuck with me. It served me very well. I care deeply about this city and seeing it improve. I have multiple reasons for wanting it to succeed. None greater than my children are going to grow up here. So plans that I have that I'm going to implement that I'm responsible for, right, is preparing us for opportunity. And I've used this quote before. It's one of my favorite quotes, which is success is when opportunity meets preparation. And we need Pottsville to be prepared, and we are currently not prepared. That was shown with the Chris issue. I know we bring that up a lot, but I can't understate it. That was the biggest blunder in Pottsville history, and it was all due to us not being prepared. That was massive amount of money that we need for revitalization. It exceeds $50 million over a 30-year period. That is game-changing money.
And you can see the effects in Tamaqua if you're reading the news. And WNEP did an article last night on. So sorry to interrupt.
There's evidence of it succeeding. And so a couple things on that. We were the only city to even apply, and so we stood a very good chance of winning that had the authority been set up correctly. And it's not a grant, right? It's a redistribution of our taxes back to the community. So that, let me say that again. It's not a grant. That's our tax money being reinvested back into our community to the tune of millions of dollars a year. That's incredible. So my job is to make sure that we're ready for that, to get that authority set up per the guidelines that are online and available. I've read through them. Not to stop there, but all of our commissions and authorities, Blight Task Force, we need them meeting, and we need them fully staffed with people that care and people that have backgrounds in these things that can help us. And that's what we were talking about earlier. Don't care about party affiliation when it comes to that. The best people in the right seats. So, at the insurance agency I work at, we talk about all the time putting the people on the bus, but in the right seats, the right people on the bus in the right seats. And that's what we need to do here. So that's part of my 90-day thing. Get everybody in the right seats for these committees, getting fully staffed and all rowing in the same direction again to get possible turned around.
Yeah. So Scott Price here, why vote for me and not the others? I've thought about this question since I've announced my candidacy. So I announced my candidacy shortly after there was an incident during a city council meeting where, in my opinion, the city council had mistreated an elderly woman who was at the meeting. And I remember I went home that night and my wife had said, hey, how'd the meeting go? And I was very distraught. And I said, there's no empathy. This woman was having issues. I said, I'm going to run. I think I bring to the city a sense of understanding. I was born and raised here, so I know what the heyday looked like. I know what it used to be. I remember the crews going end to end. I remember the Mayfair downtown. I remember Pottsville beating Berwick in, 98, right? 98, 99. I think Jeff Williams with the interception to seal the game. I was there. And I just remember the electricity around town. And I just feel like we've lost that vibrancy. I come from a family where my parents worked for everything they got. And that was instilled in me very young, at a very young age. And when I was 13, I started volunteering at Hillside SPCA. Right around the 14 or 15-year-old time frame, I got working papers from the school, and I was there every weekend. Cleaning out kennels, cleaning up after the dogs. I'm a very hard worker, Chaz. when we started this campaign, we talked about how we met with Jersey City. We spent countless hours with our state legislators talking about CRIS and how to prepare for it. We wrote a CRIS policy and presented it to the city. We wrote the homeless policy and presented it to the city. I have nothing personal against our opponents, but one thing I will say is we have outworked them since the start. We have been on the ground every turn this election. Our opponents are very nice people, right? They're very good guys. I talk to them outside of the whole campaign process. But why not them? Facts are facts. They have been there. And anything that they're saying they are going to do, they can already do. They have a majority vote. They own the council. And they haven't made the changes that the city needs. And to me, that has created an environment of ineffectiveness. Again, nothing personal against them. I'll go have a beer with them tomorrow. But I think this town needs an injection of new life. I think this town needs an injection of energy. And that's where we want to take this city.
Tom Smith speaking. I'll wrap this up. One big elephant in the room here is that we're all business people, all three of us, experienced business people, and we bring to the table years of experience running successful businesses. And like it or not, the city is a business. We're coming through, we're releasing policies, we're telling what our 90-day plan is, we're telling what the policies are. I'm not seeing that from the other side. Again, good people, great people. But that doesn't mean they're fit for what they're asking to do, to put in the office. I think we can do a much better job. We already have the plans put together. We're going to hit the ground running. We have a transition team already on the ground ready to go. And we bring with us a large team of big supporters experienced in different fields from aquatic engineering to accounting, so forth. It's just not us three. We're bringing on board a team of professional people eager to help us.
It's not about party affiliation. That's what we want to emphasize to the citizens. It's whether you're, I think we talked about there, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, Republican, no affiliation, whatever. This is simply, we don't deal with federal issues. We don't deal with any of that left and right stuff. This is an $11 million budget being managed in the most effective and efficient manner possible. So we encourage all Democrats to vote for us, all non-party affiliations, libertarians. We want everybody because we represent everybody.
Yeah, John Marsh, just one last thing for me is it should be possible over party. If you agree with that, if you are hearing what we're saying and agree with that, I just want you to know, too, that it takes more than one person to get this thing changed. Like Tom mentioned, we need all three of us. So we are asking for your vote for all three, for Scott Price, for Tom Smith, and for myself, John Marsh, this Tuesday. So, I mean, we're at it. It's almost here. I know that we are excited to be there, and we've learned a lot through this process. We really, really, truly think we can make a difference here.
We've become so close over the last 8 months, and we've had our ups and downs, but we've become so close, and we're all three really good candidates, but I can't emphasize the injection of finances and the injection of money this city will see if Tom Smith brings his team into the city. Tom Smith has delivered before with the Y. He expanded the Y. He has secured more funding as a private citizen than the city has as a municipal government. Tom Smith is going to take us. He's going to lead us into the next generation, and we're going to turn this city around.
Well, gentlemen, I guess good luck on Tuesday. That's when everything will be decided. So we want to thank you for coming in today and taking time to talk to the WPPA listeners here on Let's Talk. These shows will be posted on Monday. Both sides will be up on the Let's Talk icon at WPPAradio.com. You're listening to WPPA Pottsville.